This is our monthly board meeting date, so that'll happen. We'll have a fall picnic. The plan is, weather permitting, et cetera, the 24th, starting at 12:30. The church here will provide hamburgers, hot dogs, and buffalo wild wings. Also, I'm taking off next week. By next week, I mean the week of the 17th. I guess that's it. Okay. Okay. The Exodus generation failed in these tests. There are some bright spots in their history, spiritually speaking. It wasn't all, but it isn't enough to cover them spiritually and qualify them. The other test that they flunked was naturally, they've seen God deal with water. Turn to blood, remove it, etc. And obviously anybody would rationally realize that many people in that environment, there's not adequate water, not even close. And running around and digging a bunch of wells is out of the question. So, God's going to cover us with water. He's going to provide water. They come up out of Egypt. And by the way, this is if you were to retrace this path that they took, and there's an itinerary laid out in Numbers and so forth, step one, next encampment, step two. If you were to go over there, and of course you can't get into Saudi, though some snuck in there and got some of the pictures and stuff. Around the Sinai area, the real Mount Sinai, not the fake one out there in the fake Sinai Peninsula, misnamed. The real Mount Sinai, the Mountain of the Law, Jebel Awaz, the Arabs call it, the Mountain of the Law. That's a special mountain. It's got certain features that every mountain doesn't have, obviously, and had to have all these features in order for it to fit the bill. Had to have a cave in it. That may not sound like a big deal. Had to have an adequate cave. And it had to have a brook at that time running down it. And that mountain's out there. And the top of it is blackened. The mountains around, they don't have a scorched top or a black top. The rock has been like you put a blowtorch on it or something, and you turned it black. And it's certainly not volcanic. How'd that happen? The Lord came down the mountain in fire and scorched the rock. And left that mark indelibly there for all time. Coming up out of Egypt, there is the out of Egypt, out of crossing the Red Sea and coming out into Saudi. There's a place they named it the 70 Palms because there were 70 palm trees. 22. The second test involves water. Wrong kind. So as you equate this to yourself, there are things that too much of something solve that problem. Wrong kind. It's water, but it's not. You can't drink it. And Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. These are the old names. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah, bitter, Hebrew word bitter. It would be appropriate. So the people complained at Moses, take it out on him. He did all this. Get under your STA. It's our leader's fault. That was their knee-jerk reaction. What shall we drink? You know, there's two ways to have approached Moses on this. Moses, what's going to be the solution for the water problem? Just a simple question. That's not in anybody's face and acting nasty about it. What are we going to drink? You revert right back to as if nothing before ever happened. What do you call that? The whole history before doesn't matter. I've had people around here in Maranatha just like that. All the history, all the positive volition, all the applications, all the enthusiasm, where'd it go? It's like you're a different person. Who are you? The person of the past or this new thing that developed? That's exactly what it is. It's like the schizophrenic. The doctrine of spiritual being spiritual schizophrenic. I'm going to work that up. Well, I got these people as an example. Then that puts pressure on Moses. He wants to lead him. He knows we're under a test. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. This is a dead tree, by the way. It's not a living tree. Laying over on the side. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Well, there's no scientific explanation for that. There's no chemistry that explains that. It's a miracle. And it's a reason for a tree being in these waters. By the way, all the events coming out of Egypt have something to do with the salvation story too. Moses with his people, all of them, on that 8-mile stretch, under this, with water on both sides and this cloud over them. It's referred to in Corinthians as our union with Christ. And Moses is a type of Christ. We're in Christ, baptized into Christ. It's a dry baptism because nobody got wet except for the Egyptians. Nobody got wet. And this throwing this water, making something that's not consumable by doing something seemingly stupid, but you just follow orders and you don't say, well, that isn't going to work. You don't. God said, do it, do it. It's to teach that it's through the cross of Jesus Christ that the waters are made sweet and eternal life is provided by something that seems ridiculous on the surface of human viewpoint. A crucified Jew who claims to be Messiah. And that's the way of salvation? You bet. Yeah. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. Then he... See, they're taught. As they go along, they're taught things. Why he did it here, I don't know exactly, but it might come to me someday, but it isn't now. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you'll give earnest heed, not just some casual listening to doctrine, if you'll give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians. I guess they had their special category down in Egypt of diseases that afflicted the Egyptians. They discover some of them by observing the remains in sarcophaguses. That they had this condition and that condition. God puts diseases on nations relative to their environment and various things. You don't think there's any on the United States? Most of them are self-imposed, far as I know. Self-imposed. Through the bad part of our medical system and pharmaceuticals and additives to food and dumping all kinds of poisons on crops. And this gets in our bodies. Oh, okay, FDA approved it. Of course they did. And so, if you look at the history of these big diseases that afflict Americans, you will see that they have spiked like this. Back when I was young, In my parents' time, when I was in their home and that, you hardly ever heard of cancer. You just didn't hear about it. If you did, it was, whoa, she's got breast cancer. You'd hear that, and that would be a singular type of a thing. And then we come into our history, and then consuming butter and red meat is bad for you. They started this with the Eisenhower after the Eisenhower administration, that we needed to eat cereal and chicken almost exclusively. Heart problems start going up. And that's what happened, as I understand. That's what happened to Eisenhower. He was a real fit guy coming out of World War II, and he had a heart attack, I believe, on a golf course. That was the end of him. Because the food guru over the food deal in the government was promoting this new diet. And our grandparents ate eggs and bacon and butter and all that rich stuff. But when I was growing up, we rarely, I just remember, sometimes because we didn't have money, it's just, I rarely had a soda pop. Now they tell you how much this a person consumes in a year. On top of that, processed sugar in general. It's any wonder. As I've read, if you get cancer, get all sugar out of your life. Sugar is like gasoline on a fire. And no doctor, I say no. Doctors will not tell you, don't eat this. That's how we dealt with it, because I saw an info commercial. I fell prey to it, but it was a good one. It says you get your pH of your saliva. You get it alkaline. And you get pharmaceutical grade litmus paper, and you check your saliva first thing in the morning. There's three possible colors. Yellow, you're sick. Green's in between, and blue's good. You get a 7-point-something. And so if you had it, first line of defense is get the list of all foods that are alkaline. And then these are the acidic ones, because our diet's overloaded with the acidic side of stuff. Okay. And get your pH into the blue. You ever want to know anything about that? That's not my job up here to deal with that, but I just feel like, you know, they ought to know this. They do. They want to cut, poison, and burn. And this is the modern medicine. Your hair all falls out, you have no appetite, and the damn thing comes roaring back on you in most cases. They could cure it like this. They know how to get to the bottom of this. But it's suppressed because we're going to sell drugs. And we want a population that's continually in need. And we'll just harvest them until they die. Get hundreds of thousands out of their insurance, and they fall over dead. They can cure these things. They know what it is. It's not just about money, but that's a big factor, because the outrageous prices of some of these pills that they put out. But God has put in the earth, in its rocks, in its plants, in its animals, things that once people study them in labs and figure it out, hey, this combination of stuff will knock out high blood pressure. If you take it like you're supposed to. That's just one illustration. That's why all these herbs and all these things, some of them are hidden away in a flower in some remote country, but it's there. It's not just to look pretty, and there are the uses that they have for them. It's to deal with things. They don't want that. All the diseases. If you want to be a very healthy nation, Israel, you keep my commandments. And these diseases that you saw and shuddered when you saw what the native Egyptians had, They won't be on you. I don't know what a list of those might be. For I am your healer. A high level. Remember what we looked at, obscure because no one's going to touch it. Passage of that tree that produces those leaves for the healing of the nations. Not in the eternal state, in the millennium. That people are going to go to this thing. This plant. They came to Elim where there were 12 springs. Yeah, that's the one. I just want to say that. And 70 date palms. That's the last verse in chapter 15. And they camped beside the waters. So they flunked, complaining over the bitter water at Marah, complaining over no food in the wilderness, Exodus 16. Of course you're going to run out of food. And you can't be eating up all your animals because then they'll be extinct. You won't have any. So, because this is not an environment for farming of any kind. This is a wilderness. So, naturally, you're going to run out of food. So the question ought to be in their heads, how's he going to do this one? This will be real interesting. And just go to Moses and say, hey, our backpacks are empty. Our carts are empty. We're down to our last whatever that we brought up out of Egypt. The kids are getting hungry and we don't see any prospect for food, but we know God's got that covered. But of course, we'll go the STA route first. And this is the same terrible mental attitude. We all complain from time to time. It's a sin. The sin of the tongue. We just do. But this chronic, someone says, that person, I'm around them, they're always complaining. Nothing seems to suit them. That's an extreme. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel, 16:2, complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Well, we'll get Moses' brother in here too. We'll make him a target. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Can you imagine being Moses and hearing this? That's why his reward in phase 3 is great. He endured this. Oh yeah, life was so good down in Egypt, wasn't it? You're going to paint this real good? They cried out to Israel. They finally, the oppression was so severe, they were crying out to the Lord to come to help them. It wasn't, oh, we're okay. We got these pots full of meat and it's just lovely down here. While they drown our babies and we have to go to work on their projects. Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. No. It's a lie. It's a lie. And that mentality. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I rain bread, not any kind of bread you and I have ever eaten, from heaven for you. And the people shall go out. Another test, within the test. Can you follow instructions? And you will go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they or not they will walk in my instruction. He just said, just do what I tell you to. I'm God. I know it all. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. You didn't know that already? And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord. That's the cloud flashing, by the way. For he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you complain against us? We're two men out of all this, and what are we? Then the Lord said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening. We're going to have your we're going to make a table for you in the evening, and bread to the full in the morning. So we're going to give you your evening meal, and then you're going to get a morning meal. And for the Lord hears your grumblings. Let's rub this in real good, because you're not glorifying God, which you grumble against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. I have to remind myself of that principle. When people deal wrongly with me as a believer, they're dealing wrongly with the Lord. They're doing it to Him. Yes, I'm affected by it, but they're doing it to Him. Same for all of us. And it came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now, I do not know if the cloud was kind of over here separated, like, I'm backing off from you for a minute. You're acting, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I've heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat. Meat? Where's it at? You'll eat meat. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp. These are migratory birds. These are not local indigenous birds, like when we go out here quail hunting. These are birds that migrate over that part of the world, and they're on their migration run. And there's millions of them. And so these quail come up. And in the later, there was a layer of dew around the camp, something you wouldn't get out there in the wilderness. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? In the Hebrew, that's our word manna. Manna, or as the Hebrews would pronounce, manhu. What is it? So they go out and say, what is it? What is it? They should have known. They were told the day before, weren't they, that this is going to be their food? They should have said, oh, that's the bread, right? Now, it had to come down pretty thick for it to work. It can't just be a little. For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread. That's what I think he ought to say it that way. Which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer, that's a Jewish measurement, a piece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. If you got six, then you get six omers. That's it. The sons of Israel did so. And some of them gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And Moses said, let no man leave any of it until morning. This is not something that is food you can take home, so to speak. This is not preservable. There's no preservative in this. You eat it on that day. That's it. See, it's again, this whole thing about instructions. The STA doesn't want to follow instructions. I know better. No, you don't. But they did not listen to Moses. That's what happens to people spiritually. The attrition is they're not listening. They say they are, but they're really not listening. They're not really dug in. They're looking around, wondering what the other person thinks about this or something. No, it's you. It's between you and the Lord. You have to figure this out for yourself. You're going to be a great believer. You've got to stand on your own two feet spiritually. It's nice when loved ones and others are on board, but if they're not, they're not. Friends come and go. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. They did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning. No faith rest. It's not going to be here tomorrow, so we better save this. Pathetic. and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Yeah, he can get mad too. Pushed his buttons. So inside the tent where the dummy took more and tried to keep, it stinks to the high heaven. They got to air the whole thing out, get this out. That's their discipline. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. So you've got to get it in a timely fashion. What do you suppose, I know you know already, what the spiritual lesson is here? Manna represents Bible doctrine. Get it while it's available. Now, obviously, strictly speaking, we will provide a CD, something on our webpage, and we're working to get a new venue to run the, like we had with YouTube, before we got kicked off of it. We've been almost 2 years. I think it's pretty good. I thought they were going to rise up quicker than that. Who knows? And God was setting them up for another chapter. Here's another instruction. Gather the manna for 6 days. And on the 6 days, now you can get a double portion. So you don't have to go out on what we call Saturday, the Sabbath. He's preparing them for the Jewish Sabbath observance, which they didn't observe before then. They weren't required to. It wasn't a law before Moses. Abraham wasn't on, oh, here's the seventh day. We can't work and do anything. They were not. God established the seventh day of rest in the Garden of Eden, but that is to just teach people that you need to take a day off and relax as much as possible. And working 6 days and not working the seventh day is to teach faith rest. I don't need to be a workaholic. I don't need to work 24 every all the time, like some people do. That being an extreme. So, the plain or no food in the wilderness, and I already covered this next one. Failure to follow instructions in the collection of manna. Five. See, these all came real quick, one after another. Attempting to collect manna on the Sabbath. And wait, I didn't get to that one. Some of them went out on Saturday anyway. There was nothing on the ground. Well, that only lasted once. But he attributes this whole thing to that whole generation, that whole mentality of that generation. And then we'll pick up Tuesday, failing to faith rest Moses' absence, and that big event at Operation Golden Calf. At the bottom of Mount Sinai when he was up there for 40 days. He's dead, he's gone. Let's revert back to paganism or something. All right. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.